president travels abroad and is still talking jobs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects the United States. President Obama travels to India today on a three-day mission to talk about the economy and jobs. It's the first Asian stop on a 10-day four-nation tour. From New Delhi, Raymond Thibodeau reports.
President Obama is set to arrive in India's commercial capital, Mumbai, with a huge entourage of leaders from American corporations, including GE and Boeing. Their mission? To pry open India's markets to more U.S. businesses in defense, banking, retail, and agriculture, and in the process, create more jobs back home. The president's hoping to avoid the O word, outsourcing. It's a hot-button issue here after Obama pushed to end tax breaks to companies that ship American jobs overseas. Indians also bristled when the U.S. nearly doubled the fees for visas that allow thousands of Indians to work in the U.S. Indian Foreign Secretary Narupama Rao points out that the flow of jobs goes both ways.
Thousands of jobs have been created by our acquisitions in the United States. That is something we would like to convey to President Obama and his delegation.
Still, analysts say that might not be enough to convince the more than 13 million American workers without jobs that opening up U.S. trade with India might help the U.S. economic recovery. In New Delhi, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, in the wake of the GOP rout of Democrats in the House last Tuesday, the president is sounding a little more conciliatory on Bush-era tax cuts. The White House says Mr. Obama is considering maybe a 1 or 2 year extension on those cuts for all Americans, even those who make more than $250,000 a year. Moody's and Standard & Poor's are famous for sitting in judgment on the creditworthiness of others. Now the rating agencies face their own sort of downgrade. There are plans in Europe to cut the agency's influence. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
The plans are driven by European resentment over the debt crisis. Many European politicians and officials feel that the problems in Greece, Ireland, Portugal and Spain were aggravated unfairly by the rating agencies. Under the plans unveiled today, the agencies would be much more tightly regulated. They'd be required to give a country early warning before a downgrade. That would give the country a chance to challenge the new rating before it becomes public. Under another proposal, it would be easier to sue agencies if their ratings are judged to be wrong. But Simon Tilford of the European Centre for Reform says the new rules wouldn't change the ratings on many countries.
There are some very, very substantive concerns over growth prospects in a number of economies. And while that remains the case, the ratings agencies will only be doing their jobs if they draw attention to this.
Nevertheless, many concerns remain about the rating agency's broader role in the financial crisis. Next week in South Korea, the G20 summit will also consider its own crackdown on the agencies. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are about even ahead of the Labor Department's employment report out later today. Asian shares rocketed earlier, taking cues from Wall Street yesterday. The Dow added 219 points, nearly 2%, to close at 11,434. That's the highest level for the Dow since just before Lehman Brothers collapsed.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at AllyBank.com. And by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies.
President Obama called Tuesday's GOP sweep back into the House control a shellacking, his word. Well, we wondered what that means for climate change legislation that's been floundering in Congress for some time. Marketplace sustainability reporter Adrian Hill is with us now to talk about it. Morning, Adrian.
Good morning, Steve.
So tell me, what will all these Republican newcomers mean for big action on climate change?
Well, probably not as much as they'd like.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, let's be clear. Big climate change legislation was already dead. The Dems controlling both houses couldn't get it through. They tried and failed. So sure, any sort of sweeping climate legislation is less likely now, but that's less likely than dead.
So, Adrian, the Obama administration's EPA is working on greenhouse gas regulations? I mean, what can the GOP-controlled House do about those?
They'll certainly try to do all they can. They might try to kill them. They probably will try to kill them or at least slow them down. The expectation is the House is going to call lots of hearings, spend a lot of time trying to block these guidelines. But right now in the Senate, Republicans and their Democratic allies have as many as 57 votes to stop EPA regulations. That's according to the New York Times. It's not enough to overcome a liberal filibuster, but it could change.
And they're working together, right? Bipartisanship.
Yeah, I guess so. The president did also express some willingness to compromise on energy in his press conference on Wednesday. So we'll see. There's some concern that federal funding for clean energy tech and research could take a hit, that Republicans' appetite to cut the budget, combined with many of their skeptical opinions on climate change, could really mean less money for scientific research. Also, fossil fuel interests like big oil spend a lot of money getting some of these Republicans elected. So they're going to be lobbying hard.
Are there any bright spots, Adrian, for proponents of climate change after this election?
Absolutely. Here in California, voters decisively voted against Prop 23, which means that California's clean air laws are going to stay in place. A lot of clean energy advocates are pointing to that as a really significant victory. And it's one sign that the meaningful battle over climate action and clean energy is moving away from the Hill and to the state and local level.
Marketplace's sustainability reporter, Adrian Hill. Adrian, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
And finally, it's a big horse racing weekend at Churchill Downs in Louisville. So the Wall Street Journal did a little research on how profitable horses of certain names have been at the Breeders' Cup since the year 2000. Those horses that averaged the most money were named after historical or fictional characters like Thor's Echo and Tin Man. The favorite to win this weekend's race is Zenyatta, named after the 1980 Police album Zenyatta Mondatta. Now, that name was on the list's music and dance category. And it didn't even place or show. It finished fifth in average money. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The Haitian novelist Edwige Danticat has a new book out. It's a memoir this time about art in the middle of horrible tragedy.
Some of it is born perhaps out of struggle, but out of spirituality and a great sense of strength and resilience.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the expatriate artist at work, next time on Marketplace. We'll have the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.